Joining us right now is a very special guest. Remember, lots of things have been said about the TRIPS waiver. Now, what is a TRIPS waiver? Well, this basically means that the companies that hold patents as far as licensing is concerned on vaccines, whether there should be a waiver in that licensing so that more manufacturers can manufacture. Should that be the case? Is this the road to take as far as India is concerned? That is one issue. The guest who we are about to speak to today is also very, very important because he answers the vaccine question on two counts. Number one, whether there should be a waiver or a compulsory license. And number two, whether we should have more vaccines. And his company, the Zydus Group, is they have a new vaccine in their sights. Thank you very much. I would like to welcome Dr. Sharvil Patel. Dr. Patel, first of all, I want to know from you, what is your opinion on the TRIPS waiver?
So thank you, Sanket, for having me here. So I think that it's a welcome move. I think as part of the global effort to make vaccines more accessible across the world, I think one aspect of it is obviously to waive the IP. But more critically, if you want to make the vaccines accessible, then the critical aspect of this is that we need technology transfer from the companies that are, have innovated these vaccines, because vaccines is a very complicated process. It's anywhere between a 30 to 60 day process, somewhere as long as a 90 day process. And it's a biological system that we are working with. So unless we get help from the technology transfer aspects from the innovator, it's very difficult to make and replicate a vaccine in a short period of time. So I believe the real effort needs to be made that the companies are willing to find good partners to do this transfer, which has already happened. You see many examples of that in India, including the AstraZeneca partnership, which was the originally Oxford partnership. Or if you look at the biological E with J&J, or if you look at Sputnik, who have found four or five manufacturers in our country. So I think more effort is needed on that part. And if we can do that, we can have more access and more faster access to these vaccines.
Sure, sure. Dr. Patel, are you trying to imply that it would be far better for this exercise to be voluntary rather than compulsory, where governments decide that we take these licenses and give it to all? You feel that it will be much better if companies decide themselves?
Always so, because I believe unless the partner is able, I mean, unless the company which owns the IP is able to help the companies whom they're giving the technology to, it will become very difficult and it'll be a more longer process. Because let's be clear, when an IP is filed, IPs are very broad in nature. They file a very wide range of aspects of how you're supposed to make their vaccine. Now, vaccine involves anywhere between 8 to 10 steps and it requires, as I said, a long period of time. So it, you need to control various parameters. And so you need help from the company who has developed it so that you don't waste time doing the whole development again. So I'll give you one example. You know, generally, they'll give a pH range between X to Y. Now, they will be only following a particular pH to make the vaccine part of the expression system. So unless you know that, you're going to do trials and errors to find out that aspect of which is the most optimum way of producing a particular type of vaccine. So like that, there are so many processes. The second is all of them have proprietary technologies in terms of adjuvants, in terms of column chromatography, which is acquired from somewhere. So if you don't have those access, so even if you have the whole IP, unless you can access the technology in terms of the raw material or the equipment, you will not be able to produce it. So I think all of those things are required. So as I said, the best way would be that companies come forward and find suitable partners in different countries and help in technology transfer.
But, you know, Dr. Patel, there is a problem there. Do you think that this voluntary nature of companies sharing licenses or sharing information with one another is not happening fast? That companies need to sign in more partners and soon so that the governments do not have to step in?
Yes, so I definitely feel that the voluntary aspect of it is the more critical side, which maybe governments, countries, and even companies can talk. And finding more partners so that more manufacturing can happen. It's not easy for a manufacturer, because they need to put a good amount of resources to help in doing so. So they should find serious vaccine players who are able to commit to doing this.
Interesting. Okay, Dr. Patel, let's now talk about your company, your company's plans. Would you like to share some plans with us? We've all heard of the Verafin, which is, of course, the drug. Tell us more about it. How is it placed? And also, the new vaccine you seem to be working on.
About two things. One is obviously the first, which is a drug, which is a pegylated interferon, which is the brand name is Verafin. So, you know, the I think it's a, one of the strongest antiviral drugs that we have been able to bring to the market. Today, you know, the critical drug that is used today is remdesivir and some of the other antivirals. Our drug is significantly more potent than any of the standard of care that is available today in terms of antivirals. The other beauty of this product is, you know, interferons are naturally occurring proteins in our body. So the first mechanism to stop virus amplifying is the production of interferon that the whole human body does. And then it, the whole immune system gets activated to eliminate the virus. This has been very well demonstrated that this drug has been used extensively in hepatitis B and C treatments, which are other viruses of known origin. So we, when we did our clinical work with this product, the beauty of it is only a single injection that you need to administer and can be done by any medical practitioner. So you don't need to be in a hospital setting to do any of this. And when we were able to do this, we showed improvement in both people becoming RT-PCR negative in day 7. 91% of them did so. We showed significantly lower requirement of oxygen support. We showed much lesser symptoms, which are critical in terms of looking at it. And on the WHO ordering scale, which is the marker for looking at efficacy, we showed a 2-point improvement by day 8. So this gave us a confidence that this drug definitely can be of choice if administered early. And that's how we are being able to repurpose this drug and bring it now to the country. So that is to do with our antiviral drug,
vaccine,
which is the first mechanism, first line of treatment if you are, if somebody is infected with the disease. Our second, which is, you know, the vaccine, which we are very excited about, is, you know, we are the only DNA-based vaccine in the country and globally now, which has reached and almost completed phase 3. In a way, it's like the RNA vaccine, but we go one step forward by producing DNA, which is a double helix. The trials have gone well. We are the, we have done one of the largest clinical trials in the country, where we have covered 28,000 volunteers. We have covered all age groups, including age group of 12 to 18. So that will be significant from our clinical evidence point of view. Again, the other good part of it is that in spite of vaccines being available, we could finish our recruitment almost on time. So that talks about the positivity of people who were administered this vaccine. We'll see the efficacy data, and I believe this will be one of the strongest reflections of the current pandemic that is there, because, you know, we have multiple strains that are present in our country, and we have covered the length and breadth of the country in terms of doing the trial. So whatever efficacy we get to see will be, in a way, a good representation of what is the current, you know, how it, this vaccine would work against all the kinds of strains that are present in the country. And we wait for that. In May, we should see that data. The other beauty of this vaccine is that it is a needle-free injection. So we don't use any kind of needle to give this injection. It is an intradermal injection. So it is only going into the skin and not a large needle that gets into the muscle.
Okay.
And so the ease of administration, the hesitancy for taking injections, vaccination, all of this could be removed for it, especially people who are worried about it, and especially younger children.
Yeah.
Who will be even more worried about such aspects of it.
Yeah.
And it's proven to be very safe, that I already know. So we have very strong safety data now. So we are just awaiting our efficacy data. And once we see that, we will be able to roll it out in the month of May.
I think that's great news. You've given us lots of hope, Dr. Patel. This is great news. Would you like to tell us a little bit more about this new vaccine, for instance? How does the vaccine get soaked into the skin? And also 12 to 18, which basically means that in the third phase, when we're talking about it affecting children more, we will have an Indian vaccine ready for children above 12. Would you like to tell us a little bit more? Elaborate.
So it is done by pressure and perfusion. And it is only in the upper dermis of the skin, so the early part of the skin. So it just forms a small bump, so to say, and you put a very small amount, only 100 microliters of the dose. So it's a very, very, it's like a drop of the dose that goes into the skin. So those are the benefits of this. The other good part of it is a thermostable vaccine. So definitely stable at 2 to 8, but at 4 months is stable at 25 degrees also. Also, the vaccine is stable through freezing and thawing. You know, we know of a lot of vaccines going bad because they're frozen and, you know, they should have not been frozen. Our vaccine has been tested where if you go through multiple freeze-thaw cycles, it's still stable and effectively can be used. So we'll hope less wastage or less errors would happen by using of the vaccine, which is again a positive part of it. Again, it uses no live viruses or replicating viruses, so it's very safe and can be done. Multiple dosing is possible with this vaccine when we need more interest. And the beauty again of this platform is that it is easily transformable to new variants. So, you know, we have already made the new doses for the new application for the British variant, the South African variant, as
Oh,
well as the
nice.
Brazilian variant. And
Very
we are
nice.
almost getting ready with our Indian variant. We already finished animal studies on the earlier three variants to show safety. And because nothing changes in the vaccine prototype, we can easily repurpose it. So I
And
believe
change it
when,
according to
you know,
variants.
strains
Wow,
of
this is brilliant
concern
news.
grow and whichever becomes the more dominant strain, we should be able to repurpose our vaccines also without any difficulty because nothing changes in making the vaccine.
This is brilliant news, Dr. Patel. First of all, could work on kids 12 to 18 years of age, available in different variants, can be quickly changed. Two things which are a point of concern in this great news that you are giving us, Dr. Patel, in these times of doom and gloom, and they're very important as far as vaccines are concerned. Cost and availability. Both these issues are being debated in the existing vaccines right now. Would you like to share something with us on these two counts?
So yes, I think for a country like ours, both distribution of the vaccine equitably as well as the cost matter and the quantities matter because we are by far one of the largest, I mean, our program is by far the largest vaccination program that any country can have. So on that point of view, what we have been able to do so far is committed to produce about 1 crore doses per month. In the initial days, we are finding two other manufacturers whom we're discussing with that if we can partner with them and do a technology transfer, we increase that capacity. We are also working to see how do we improve our yields and other aspects of what we can do to double our capacity from 1 crore to 2 crores per month. So that is our current endeavor, and we are lo looking at all options, including finding partners to be able to make this. The challenge is, as always, you know, everybody has some capacity, but not the capacity that you want. So, you know, we could give more people to do it, but everybody's only able to produce lakhs in lakhs and not in crores. So, you know, the whole effort gets wasted if you only get a few lakh doses and you find too many manufacturers to do it. So we are looking to see how do we do that and double our capacity. So we are hoping we'll achieve 2 crore, but definitely we'll start off with creating 1 crore
What
doses
about
per month.
cost?
We are looking at the pricing of the vaccine. As we come closer to our approval and the way the regulators look at it, we will obviously make it more affordable and equally affordable as the other vaccines are. And our goal and purpose is to make it more affordable. If you look at our current track record, you know, when hydroxychloroquine was the need of the hour last year, we launched it at the lower than the NPPA price. When we had remdesivir, today we are one-fourth of the cost of remdesivir than any other remdesivir in the country. If you look at dexamethasone, which is the corticosteroid of choice, which is used, we are the lowest priced corticosteroid in the country. So I think our endeavor is that in this time, we have to make sure that we make the product accessible. At the
Absolutely.
same time, obviously, we have to recoup all our loss costs that we have put in
Correct.
and make it equitable for us also.
No, I think
So
this is
I think
very
we should be able to do that.
Dr. Patel, this is very encouraging when you say that you're working on availability and not through a forced compulsory license, but you're tying up with more companies, which is great, which takes care of the aspect of availability. And then number two, the point on it being affordable, where you're saying that it could be equally affordable or cheaper than the existing vaccines that are available in the market. This will be great news when this is going to happen. My question, Dr. Patel, what's your vaccine going to be called? What's its name?
It's going to be called Zyco-D.
Oh, what?
Zyco-D.
Zyco-D. That's a after Covishield and Covaxin, that's going to be slightly difficult to pronounce, but if it does its job, it's absolutely fine, whatever the name is. Have you applied for its emergency use? And if not, when are you going to do that?
So
Is there
we
it will be
will get
available in
our
May?
efficacy data. We believe we'll get it in May, and we are hoping to file
Okay.
for emergency use in May. The current process of reviewing such products is fast at the regulator's end, so we believe we can get our approval in May itself if we are
Wow.
able to get the efficacy by mid-May.
Brilliant. This is great news. Thank you so much for filling us with so much joy with this particular news. Let's hope this happens soon. Good luck to you, and thank you so much for joining us right here on NDTV. Thank you, Dr. Patel.